Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is your sister, Rigel.
Peace, Hotep, Habari Ghani, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back for another week. It's Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. You dig? So we back actually where we left off last week. We plan to have a dynamic show. Please give us a call, family. We are here to, you know, to hear your thoughts. That's why we call it Collective Minds, so we can get the collective thoughts of our community. So give us a call. Like I say, this is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get started, as we always do, how was y'all week, family? Rigel and my brother Mufasa, and do y'all have any announcements for the people?
No announcements. Another great week. Just busy, but no complaints. And no announcements.
Yes,
either.
Indeed. All right, that's what's up. My brother.
Man, my week was my week was blah blah. It was up and down. You know, this weekend, I just really wasn't feeling it. Has some things going on with the fam I had to take care of. I've been on the go. I've been on the go all day. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, we take the good with the bad. You know, we keep
That's
on
right.
pushing. That's what we're here for. We keep on pushing. As far as
it is what it is.
Just a quick announcement. I actually made this announcement last week. And I'll give more information on it probably next week, is that at March 28th, Nation of Islam Mosque here in St. Louis, we're doing a health and wellness seminar. I think it's on in the next 3 weeks on the Saturday, so I have that information next week. But, hey, everybody come on out. If you're a Nipsey Hussle fan, you know Nipsey Hussle was down for some health and wellness. So following the brother's footsteps, come on, get you some information. And we'd love to have you there.
All right, all right. Yes, indeed. And, yeah,
it
I don't have
any what it is.
For the family. You dig, I just want to, I guess we could get right into the show. It's been an amazing week. You know, it started out bad. Like I say, we starting this show actually ending off where we left off last week, because at the end of the show last week, if y'all tuned in, I had made an announcement that, you know, rapper, entrepreneur, father, you know, son, husband, had been murdered, Nipsey Hussle had been murdered, and that was at the end of the show last year. So since then, it actually seemed like it's been about 2 weeks, because so much has transpired, you know, since the brother was murdered. And we want to get into it, you know what I'm saying, have a discussion, talk about it with the family, see what everybody's thinking, because, like I said, there's been a lot of information, a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of things going on. And, you know, we just want to talk about it. So give us a call, y'all. This Collective Minds. We are talking about the assassination of Nipsey Hussle. And I purposely named it the assassination because that's what I feel like. And also officials in the L.A. Police Department also called it an assassination as well. So, you know, that's how we bring it to the family. So before we get started, y'all, I'm going to just lay out, you know, just the timeline and things that we have as far as, you know, facts, and then we can go into the discussion. You dig? So, like I said, as of last Sunday, March 31st, Nipsey Hussle was murdered by the alleged gunman, who has now been identified as Eric Holder, in front of his business, the American Clothing Store, which is on Slauson Avenue in Los Angeles, California. According to the video, which was released by TMZ and a few other outlets, the gunman walked up, you know, shot Nipsey in the back, shot two other people. He doubled back, shot Nipsey again, tripled back, shot him again in the head, make sure he was dead, and then kicked him and ran off, right? Ran off, they say, into like an alley or something. So that's according to the video. Now, there are some discrepancies in the story because it first came out that Nipsey knew the guy. He was a known snitch in the neighborhood. And Nipsey told him, you know, you're not welcome around here. I need you to get up out the store. And that was a little, quote-unquote, beef that they had. So he ran out, got his gun, and came back and shot him based on him being told to leave because he was a snitch. I'm hearing some echoes and some background, family. So, yeah, that was the first narrative that came out. Then interview came out with the brother who said he was on the scene. And he told a different story. Basically, the guy came up, introduced himself as an up-and-coming rapper. He shook Nipsey's hand. He shook the guy's hand that was telling the story. And the guy went into the store, and he said by the time he came out, the dude had came back with a gun and was shooting. Okay, so those are the two stories. Like I say, hopefully more come out on that, but those are the two stories that have been put out to the public. Okay, so after this happened on Sunday, the shooter did not get picked up, or the alleged shooter did not get picked up until Tuesday. And they say he was trying to check himself into a mental hospital in Bellflower, California, right? So that's how they picked him up. And they picked him up. It wasn't major incidents. It wasn't, you know, SWAT team. So he was able to elude police and the neighborhood, mind you, because people from the neighborhood was also looking for him as well. So he was able to elude not only authorities, but the gang members and people in the neighborhood that were also looking for this guy. So just keep that in mind. Okay. Also, the getaway driver, who is allegedly a female, she was released with no problem. You see what I'm saying? So just to put the question out there, when do you all know, or anybody that's listening, when do you know that the getaway driver gets released? Okay, according to reports, she said that she didn't know that he had just shot somebody. So you're sitting in a getaway car, you know, you didn't hear shots, he didn't come back frantic. And, you know, you didn't know this man had just committed a murder. Okay. But that's the story. So, okay, whatever. We'll roll with that. Now, the latest development is the killer, or the alleged killer, who's in custody, has Chris Darden representing him. Now, for those who don't know, Chris Darden was one of the prosecutor on Marsha, one of the prosecutors for the O.J. Simpson case, right? He worked under Marsha Clark, who was a prosecutor who was prosecuting Marsha, who was prosecuting O.J. Simpson. So this is a prosecutor now turned defense attorney, and he's representing the alleged shooter, Eric Holder. Okay, so just, you know, keep that in mind. Also, developments since the murder, the L.A. gangs have called a truce. They've come together. They had a march, I believe, on Saturday, and everything was looking good. You know, you had all the family out there, the Nation of Islam, Hebrew Israelites, all the gang members from all the different sets came together and did like a march to his to Nipsey Hussle's store. Okay. So that's the latest development. And the memorial for Nipsey Hussle is going to be held this Thursday at the Staples Center, which is where the Lakers play. Right. So that's the information that we have up to this point. Now, because there's two opposing views or two views online that I'm seeing from black society. Right. There's one view that says, OK, this is just a case of a jealous dude in the hood. You know, nobody else is involved. He took it upon himself to just kill this man for whatever reason. And, you know, we did this to ourselves. This is black on black crime. This is this. This is that. And there ain't no conspiracy. Right. So that's one view. The other view is, OK, there's something more going on. Yes, he could be a hater. He could be just a dusty Negro that just, you know, doesn't want to see his brother shine or be, you know, be on, get wealth and do things like that. That could be the case as well. But the other group is saying, well, somebody may have put a battery in his back. You dig what I'm saying? If the reports are true that this man is a known informant, then that means he works with government. And I have to specify this. Government can mean local, state, or federal. It doesn't have to be all three. It can be one or the other. It can be an agency working on a local level that, you know, the state or federal may not be privy to, or vice versa. It could be an agency working on a federal level that the state or local government may not be privy to. You see what I'm saying? So by this man being a known informant and being released on the basis that he cooperated with a government agency, people are saying, okay, then there may be something more to it. So we have those opposing views. Family, we want to get everyone's insight on this, and we definitely go talk about it and, you know, come to some type of understanding as to how this why this has occurred, and you know, what does this say about our community, if anything, or what does this say about how we protect people or people who are doing right by us in our communities? You see what I'm saying? So that's a conversation that we want to have. Again, it's Collective Minds. We're talking about the assassination of Nipsey Hussle. So we go get to the call lines here in a second, but we definitely want to give our sister Ryder Starr and my brother Mufasa time to chime in and let us know their thoughts on the situation. So, Ryder, I get, yeah, we'll get to you first. You are the woman of the panel. You see what I'm saying? So with everything I just laid out, what are your thoughts on this murder, and do you think this is just a case of the hood being jealous of Nipsey, or do you think there could be more at play?
Well, of course, it can be either way. You know, it could be personal beef, or it can be a conspiracy thing going on where it is something much bigger going on. You know, I would like to be a little more involved. Well, not like to. I would have to be a little more involved to really, you know, say a solid, definite, you know, more conclusive answer to that. But like I said before, I didn't really know who he was. You know, I see that he has impacted a lot of people, but I just wasn't one of the people. So I'm kind of out the loop when it comes to certain things about him. I do remember, I hate to bring this up, but I do remember the video that Mufasa showed us a little while ago when he slapped somebody.
Right.
Not knowing him, you know, that to me that speaks a lot too about his character. But That doesn't mean that it could not be something mm-hmm. more. I can easily see that. I can see that because I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist myself, so I would not be surprised to learn that it was something much more, because I see now, since his passing, the things that he had been doing and was trying to do and his goal, and it can be deemed a little threatening, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to learn that it was something much more. On the other hand, I do know that folks can just get triggered so easily, you know, when it comes to things. If he told them to leave, you know, it could have just bruised the guy's ego to the point where, you know, he wanted to retaliate. You know, either way, it's still a sad thing, you know. Either way, it's still a sad thing. However, the young man, you know, went out because it seemed like he was doing, you know, taking positive steps toward trying to help the community. So the fact that, you know, whoever did it, didn't, it just, you know, it's just a tragic situation.
Right. Indeed. Yes, it is. Yeah, all right, so we can leave it right there for now, give commentary. My brother Mufasa, what are your thoughts on the whole thing as it transpired here?
Well, before I go in on that, I did want to bring y'all up to speed, if y'all didn't know, real quick, too, about the Kodak Black stuff that happened in the past 24 hours.
Right,
you know,
right.
Kodak sit up here and, you know, he was live on Instagram and made comments about Lauren London, like, hey, you know, she a whole widow out here. You know, she that baby, you know how he talked. She that baby. You know, I give her a year, she gonna need about a year to cry and a year to mourn. But I could be that dude for her. I'm like, you really? I could be that dude for her in a way, and the shoulder for her to crown. You know, what made me want to bring it up is when he said that he enraged and infuriated a whole lot of people. You know, they're like, that's too soon, man. It's too soon to be commenting on something like this. So
right.
One foolish mistake like that can jeopardize, put your life in jeopardy. You know, people was already across, even here in St. Louis, we had rappers saying this is a no-fly zone for Kodak Black just based off what he said.
Yeah. Yep.
So, when he did apologize, he did finally apologize.
He came back right. He did. He
for
did.
Saying it. It took him a while to do it, but he finally apologized. He wanted to make clear, though, I'm just apologizing to Lauren and Nipsey, but anybody else want to get at me, you know, we can. See, that's that, you know, that gangster mentality. They get brothers hemmed up. So, like I said, I just wanted to point that out, that something so small, just you saying something inappropriately, wrong place, wrong time, can put your life in jeopardy. So tying
right,
that in
sad.
With, yeah, very.
Yeah,
tying
that
in with Nipsey Hussle, you know, what happened with him. And I get, you know, Nipsey being a good dude and trying to change his life and being positive. But trust me, I get all that. But the reality still is that you're an active member of the Rolling 60s Crip Gang. And you being an active member and, from, you know, letting it be known that you're an active member, that still is high risk. That still comes with, you know, knowing that somebody could want to get at you. So, you know, I was looking at some of Nipsey's some of his altercations. On December 18, he was involved in a nightclub brawl. And, you know, punches was thrown, security was called. The altercation ended without any major injuries, but still, why was Nipsey involved in the brawl? Then, I think it was January of 18, you know, he got involved in trying to break up a fight at his own album release party. You know, and then, like Sister Roger brought up, the whole slapping somebody at the BET Awards. You know, so I'm talking about altercations that's just caught on camera. We don't know what type of altercations that Nipsey could have been involved in off camera. And I have to, like I said, keep throwing out there that he was an active member of the Rolling 60s Crip Gang. This ain't, you know, the Church of Latter-day Saints. So when you are when you're a member of an active gang, you know, something that your gang could do, members of your gang could put you, could involve you in something. You know, they may do something, and because, you know, you so out there, you know, what better way to get at your gang is to get at you. So I have to remind people of that. Now, I look at it as Nipsey had this store, you know, in his community. And why I have to tie it in with also being an assassination is because I can't understand with everything that I just said about being involved in the gang and, you know, what comes along with that. How is it that you got this store in your community and nobody that's around you, because I'm going to excuse himself, but nobody around you got a weapon? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And I heard the excuse that, hey, you know, he hired a couple of felons, and, you know, felons can't hire pistols. But I know felons, too. And when you're in a bad situation, you know, when your life at risk, ain't nobody got time to worry about that. You know, what's the saying go? You'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. I mean, that's real from the gangsters that I know. So I can't get how nobody in Nipsey's clique had a pistol to protect their brother. That's sad and unfortunate.
He was confident enough to come back 2 more times. He knew he wasn't going to
be. Right. Exactly, right.
Yeah, he knew he wasn't going to be. You know, he like, I got everybody on her trip. See, that's why it makes you think. Was it more to this? Nobody had nothing. You know, he knew. He got inside information that nobody had nothing. You know,
right,
say,
right. And how did he know?
In his movement.
Yeah.
How did he know he was going to be there?
He was going to be there.
He didn't have nothing on him.
Right.
You know, so when you got something going on like that in Nipsey's situation, one, and you know where you at, I have no problem giving back to the community and giving back to your neighborhood. But, God, dog, you got to protect your guy like that. You got to protect yourself. You know, you still, as much as we're trying to make changes in the hood, there's still that danger there. Really, it's danger anywhere. Anywhere. So anywhere the man went, somebody should have been there to protect him, not only because of, you know, he's a celebrity, first off, but he has been involved in a gang, an active gang member. So his people should know we gotta protect this man. Somebody got to be there with something, because he could be implicated in something that ain't got nothing to do with him just based off you're a part of one of the biggest gangs in Los Angeles. So, yeah, I'm looking at it like it's assassination. It's definitely more to it than we know. And like you said, Brother Kev, now he got, you know, this high profile lawyer that just jumped on the case.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And when I looked at his video of, you know, the video of him doing the arraignment or whatnot, he don't even look comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Darden. He don't even look comfortable. It almost looked like, and this just could be, you know, just my theory, it looked like he, you know, was thrown into it. Like, hey,
right,
you know, we're going to make this high profile, and, you know, we're going to throw your name. He just didn't even look natural involved. So with that link of how he took the case, something is not right with that neither.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking at it as this whole thing smells sketchy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we're going to get to the callers here in a second, y'all. We're talking about the assassination of Nipsey Hussle. Before we get to the calls, I do want to make a couple quick points based on what my brother just said. Now, as far as him being an active gang member, I don't know if that's completely accurate. He was a member of the Rolling 60s Crip, just like Snoop is a Crip, and he represents. My thing is, Nipsey was a high-profile person. Like, he's not your average, everyday Crip. This man's net worth, according to my research, was around $8 million, right? This man is worth $8 million. So he's not your average everyday gangbanger. He's not involved in the day-to-day. Like, there's certain type of politics, and because I don't live out there, we can only go by what people report who are actually out in L.A. and part of gangs. There's a different type of gang culture out in L.A. from what they're saying. There's different type of politics. You cannot just put out a hit on a high-ranking gang member like that. Like, this is a high-profile murder. He's not your average just Crip walking around the street. You know what I'm saying? This man has businesses, entrepreneur. He travels the world, you know, things like that. So as far as him being, like, an active gang member, I don't know if that's accurate. He represents his hood and where he's from. But he was in a position where he was actually bringing gangs together. Like, I done seen several interviews where people in L.A. and from different gang sets was like, yeah, Nipsey was good over here. Bloods knew him. Other Crips knew him. You know what I'm saying? He was good around the city of Los Angeles based on, you know, the work that he was doing with the people. And as far as the slapping incident, like, I can't really hold that against him because I feel like that was a reaction to the guy slapping the cone out of Nipsey's security hand. So we got to look at the entirety of the situation, because just slapping somebody don't mean you're a bad person. Because if somebody violates me or do something, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, what I'm saying is just slapping somebody doesn't mean... What does that show? No. Because if you feel like...
It just shows the level of aggression. That's all.
Right.
It ain't saying that he's bad.
Right.
It's just saying
right.
that, yeah.
Which is understandable if you grew up in a gang-infested culture where it's eat or be eaten. You see what I'm saying?
The other thing that goes with that is if you slap somebody, and like Roger said, that show your level of aggression. And I brought those incidents up to show that that's what was being caught on film. We don't know what has been done off film. But when you slap a man, we talked about this before. When you slap a man, a grown man, you have to know that something should possibly be coming your way. And that's why I said with that incident, just along that incident, somebody around this man should have been packing, because he just smacked another grown man. Then, like I say, the other two incidents of fighting, those two incidents alone, somebody in his clique should be like, hey, you know, somebody could retaliate from this. Or we know Nip, you know, he going to rep, he could get involved in something. And everybody just ain't going to take an ass whooping. Everybody ain't going to take an ass, just like this cat here. You know,
right.
So
now,
somebody
see,
in the clique should have been prepared for this. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Somebody.
Okay. Now look. Now we can't overlook the point where you said that he was involved in breaking up a fight. So because we weren't there, we don't know all the ins and out and the intricacies of what was actually transpiring. But according to what you just reported on one of the incidents, he was trying to break up a fight. You see what I'm saying? Not saying what happened one way or the other. What I'm saying is, since we don't know, it's hard to make those type of implications, because we know in the hip-hop community, hip-hop clubs, we've all been to clubs. There are fights, unfortunately. People get aggressive. There are fights. Things happen. You know, We know what comes along with that.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's why I brought that
right.
up.
Right.
None of that was to say he was bad. I just brought it up saying that when you get involved when you have all the techniques, when you get involved in breaking up fights, when you physical like that, and I have to say active, because he stated out there, he stood on being a rolling 60. He didn't say I used to be. He said I am a rolling 60. That's active. So when you active like that and you getting into physical altercations, whether for the right or for the wrong, drama is surrounding you. And so that's why I brought it up. That wasn't bringing up to say he's bad. It's just bringing up to say that he is active. He's hands-on. He's hands-on. So when people know you're dealing with somebody that's hands-on, somebody in the clique got to be prepared, just because he is Nipsey Hussle. Like, Nipsey hands-on. He don't mind getting physical. So somebody here... We don't want Nipsey to catch nobody. Somebody out here got to be packing to watch our homeboy, you know, because he's physical. And that ain't saying that that's good or bad. I'm just stating the reality of it is when we know Nipsey can get hands on, you know, everybody ain't going to just take a slapping or take the breakup. You know, that come sometimes that can come and get back. So somebody should have been prepared for that. And I'm looking at it like it's strange to me that nobody out there had nothing. It's like, damn, y'all straight up let y'all go all the way down. Y'all was wide open.
Kind
of
like Malcolm X, huh?
Yeah. Well, see, even
in
Malcolm's situation, you know, Malcolm has stepped, you know, was a way. Yeah.
Right, but he said he didn't have his regular security, from what I heard. Yeah, he didn't have his regular security, Malcolm. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't with the nation at that time, so he didn't have a physical check. You know, we do a check procedure, and that particular incident or that day, he did away with the check procedure. That's teetotally against Nation of Islam protocol. And look what it led to.
Right. And I understand what you're saying, my brother. I definitely understand what you're saying. The bodyguard did release a statement. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Nipsey Hussle bodyguard did release a statement saying that he was off that day. You know what I'm saying? He gave him a day off and, you know, he just felt kind of comfortable at the store. He popped up, you know, reportedly because his friend had just got out of prison and he was trying to get him some girl, whatever the story is. He just ended up popping up on a random. That's another reason why it looks so
you
suspicious say because
friend
he
just
popped
got out
up.
Of jail.
Yeah, one
you
of his friends
just got out of prison.
Yeah,
that's
just
like
got out.
Yeah.
This is just a report.
But you got to put it out there, otherwise you're right. That has to be looked at.
Because when it's random, he wasn't scheduled to be there, and he's there because why? Someone who just got out of prison, you know he connected. You know,
right.
So it's like you sent them there. This guy here, you know, comes up with, you know, like how you know he was there, like someone pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That should have been a shootout. It can't nobody tell me that shouldn't have been. That should have been a shootout. With a man of his stature. With a man of his stature. That should have been a shootout. And that's probably why, like you say, his bodyguard, which was a good friend here, that's why he said, I'm done with security. Because he probably feared deep down. Because he wasn't there, he dropped the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No way. That should have been a straight shootout out there. And it's
right.
It is what it is.
Yes, indeed. All right, y'all. We are talking about the assassination of Nipsey Hussle. Give us a call. This Collective Minds Radio. Brother Kev, Rigel Starr, Mufasa Ra. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And let's go to the call lines, y'all. See what's up, what folks talking about.
Okay.
What's cracking?
319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Got a comment.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
How you doing?
Peace,
hello?
Peace.
We can hear you.
Okay. First of all, I think the gang violence is stupid. If you need a gun to solve your issues, you're just stupid. And as you said, he's a man of the street. You don't know what he did. But as a man, you slap me, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm just going to slap you back. And we, you know, to shoot you just because you slapped me is stupid.
That's because you're a man. Everybody's not a man, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to run off and come back. I'm going to squash it right then and there.
Right, but Carl, I don't mean to cut you off, but we don't want to get the conversation too muddled because the slapping at the BET Awards of the situation, that had nothing to do with this particular situation from the report.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get it muddled like that slapping has something to do with this situation. it did not, you know, from what they're reporting. But, you know, you can continue to make your point, and we'll respond. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, he's a man in the street. You don't know his history. You don't know. Like I said, I haven't even heard of the man until he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
But let me ask you this, caller. When we're talking about this is a celebrity, right? That is,
yeah.
I mean, you have to tell me if you agree with this. And I understand what you're saying about, you know, not using guns and this and the third. But when you have a celebrity that's in his own neighborhood with his, you know, in a gang neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
when you and you know that, and you know, gang violence is a reality, whether we like it or not, it is a reality.
Yeah.
You know, so whether this man was there or whether he was in Dubai, don't you believe
well,
that somebody should have been there as armed security at least because of who he is?
Most definitely. Even when I go to the city, I don't go out without someone with a gun, just in case. But
just in case.
Here where I'm at, you don't really need it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But if you're in a gang neighborhood and you killing, you know, you in a neighborhood that's full of gun violence, you have to protect
yeah.
yourself. You have to be wise
yeah.
to know where you at. What's your element? You know, what you in?
Right.
So that's what I
his
say.
Security
whether we
should
like
have had
it or
his
not.
Back. His security should have had his back. They should have. Well, at least one of them should have had a gun, shoot back. But I do just. But to be out there with that high, at
right.
that high level, yeah, you should have proper security.
Yeah.
All right.
No
all
matter
right.
what.
Yeah. Thank. Yeah, we appreciate it, caller. Thank you for your call. Yeah, I agree with the security thing. But like I said, now look, because, you know, people are saying that this was a random stop by the store, even though, yes, you should have security. But the thing is, like the security guard was saying, like, he can't be with him 24/7, even though that would be ideal. You know what I'm saying? But the security guard and... You know, since he really trusts that guy, that man has a family as well. You see what I'm saying? So Nipsey gave him a day off. It was a Sunday. You know, he had time to do what he had to do, take care of his family business or what have you. So I understand what you're saying. So he should have, if, you know, maybe it was a scheduled
somebody.
Event or it was a signing or somebody there. You know what I'm saying? But we got to take that into account that the security can't be with him 24/7 because the security also has a life himself. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely understand the point.
That
you know
one particular security guard cannot, but he can still have security every day. It don't have to be with
right.
that one particular one. Right.
It's a whole strip mall this man got. Somebody should have been up there at the strip mall.
I mean, even if it was just the security guard, he wasn't even.
Right, say it again, right? You broke up.
Say it again, one more time.
Say even if it wasn't just for the just a security guard for his store, I say he wasn't even there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he was in the bathroom. He wasn't on phone.
Right. Let's y'all want to get another call? See what's up.
Okay.
Let's get another call.
Well, okay. Area code 314-381. Calling you on the Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, we not talking about flat earth today?
Not today. We got some other business on the table.
We'll make sure we send you the link when we get on that, because I know you got something to say.
Yeah, because the guy didn't listen to what I said last week, as usual.
Okay, well, we're not going to rehash that. Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah, we'll set that back
who
up.
In the world is going to go into a
up.
Gang-infested area to shop?
People do it all the time. It's
people
live
that,
in gang-infested
in
areas.
That.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but
well,
they only got
saying?
If people. I mean, think about this. Before you open up a grocery store, you have to do a survey of that area. That survey tells you the demographics, tells you about the income that's in that area, so on, so on, so on. And if the survey don't come back showing that the demographics are there that can support this store, then nobody's going to get involved in it. You know, Mr. Moody Sterling had a grant of $10 million to open up a grocery store down in Cairo, Illinois, sitting there waiting. But when the survey came back, the people are just not there.
So what's your point, Paula? What are you trying to say?
Well, the thing is, you said it was a conspiracy, that somebody conspired to kill Emeas Ashadom because he's Eritrean. He's not really African American. He's Eritrean.
He's Eritrean, yeah. No doubt. I was going to get into that, yeah.
Yes. So I don't think it was a conspiracy. I just think you got the typical thing that goes on in that type of area and those type of mentality. You got some idiots that's killing each other.
Okay, and so now explain this to me. Why would the getaway driver, or have you ever heard of a getaway driver in a high-profile murder being let go? Why
we know that? How you know? What are they going to do, lock her up? Did the video show her shooting? They still know who the person is. Maybe they post the bomb.
We're talking about a getaway driver. Let's be out, like, slow down and process what I'm saying. We're talking about a getaway driver to a murder. This man was on the run for 2.5 days, right? So we're talking about a getaway driver for this. Like,
so did they capture the shooter?
Yes, yeah. The shooter is apprehended.
All right, that's all it is. If the prosecutor wants to further put charges on the driver, maybe the driver didn't know what happened. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right. This is what I'm saying. But that's unbelievable in itself. How do you mean the driver didn't know? This man got in the car.
Maybe the driver don't know what happened when he was inside.
Hey, you know what? And let me throw this out there real quick too, Brother Kev. Now what you were saying about his store, as far as what I know, and I wish I had wrote it down, but this was a strip mall that was like family owned business, and the stuff that they were selling, the products that they were selling, was geared around the demographics of the area. It wasn't like high end fashion, you know.
It was clothes.
And then I think one of the stores, they were going to put a barbershop in there. May have even been there. They were putting a barbershop in. They were putting an eatery in. So it was tailored around the community. It's just unfortunately that, you know, like we were saying earlier, when you got somebody that's high profile like that in a troubled area, you know, that they're not protected. Because we know what comes along with that type of area.
And he should have been protected. I think the other guy said it right. He never had heard of this individual. I never heard of him. I thought he was talking about Nipsey Russell, the other gentleman who was a actor.
Right.
If he's high profile, he's high profile to a certain demographic. If he was catering to the people in that area, then that's what it was. People wasn't going to come out from other areas and go in there and shop in a dangerous situation.
That's not true.
Well,
because people from all over the world went to that store based on Nipsey Hussle. I'm talking about all over the world. It was like a tourist attraction.
It was his demographics that follow him.
Right, correct.
But the average person in Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
Yeah, the average person there in Los Angeles, probably there in the beach area, they probably wouldn't go there because of the elements. So, you know, you got to be real with these things. John F. Kennedy shooting. Life is a valuable life. So I'm sorry that it happened, but it is what it is.
All right, Carla. We appreciate you. We're going to get some other calls.
Email you on that flat earth.
Right, we'll get back with you on the flat earth. Now, look, y'all, because I want to lay this out, too, because And some folks probably going to be mad and think I'm talking crazy and off the head, but I'm going to lay this out. Because like we talked about before, we live in a deaf culture in the West, quote unquote, the West or America. We live in a deaf culture, which means we don't appreciate people until they're gone. Like it's like some type of necromancy type of thing where it's only when you're dead when you get exalted, right? So I've asked Christians this question, right? This question. If Jesus came back today, how would you know it was him? And what would he look like? Because according to the Bible, now we go into the Bible, so if you get your Bibles out, please get those out. We are going to the Bible because according to the Bible, there's only one description of Jesus, and that's Revelations 1:14. So I would ask Christians this. If a person who looked like the person they described in that particular scripture, right, Revelations 1, verse 14 through 17, it says his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, that is the most complete description in the Bible, unless you can point me to something else. All my Bible scholars, please correct. Point me to another scripture. I know there's certain, descriptions in John, and, you know, you may have some stuff in Matthew as well. But we're talking about the closest description that we have of Jesus. So I would ask, if a person knocked on your door, like y'all ain't got to answer this, but just think about it. Person knocked on your door with white hair like wool, eyes blood red, fine brass shoes, or fine brass feet like they was burnt in a furnace, with a cover or blanket over his head, and he said, I'm Jesus, and I need a place to stay. Now, how many of us would let him in? 99.9% of people be like, nah, this dude crazy. This ain't no Jesus. Because we've been programmed. See, we're looking for the sky to crack. We're looking for somebody to actually walk on water. We're looking for somebody to do all these phenomenal things when Jesus walked amongst the people. You see what I'm saying? Jesus was of a mother and a father, and he walked amongst the people. So, again, I ask, if Jesus was to return, most people would reject him. They'd be like, oh, no, he don't look like that. That's not Jesus. I know what you – and we have this picture of this Roman dude who is Caesar Borgia. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got white dudes that walk the street. Everybody be like, oh, yeah, that look like Jesus. All he got to do is raise his arms up, and Negroes will drop to their feet based on the look, based on how we've been programmed. So what I'm saying here, and just give me 5 minutes. This man that we're talking about today, like, we can get off the conspiracy and all that, whichever way you want to go. This man was born, like the last caller just said. His name is Ermias Exigdom. I don't know if I pronounced his last name right. Forgive me. Ermias means sent by God. Or another interpretation, God will rise. Now, like the caller just stated, he comes from Eritrea, which is right next to Ethiopia. Basically, Ethiopia and Eritrea are the same country. They had some type of civil war, you know, where they broke off, and Eritrea went his own country, and Ethiopia has his own company. Now, remember, Ethiopia is the home of the original Hebrews or Jews. That is the place where the oldest Christian Coptic church is in Africa. You can look this up. The oldest Christian church in the world is in Ethiopia. So this is where Nipsey's father is from. His mother is American. This is where his father is from. Also, Nipsey died at 33. What age did Jesus die? All my Christian scholars. See, we got to remember, according to the mythology, Jesus only preached for 3 years, right? Jesus only preached for 3 years. And at the time of Jesus, if we look at the story in the Bible, nobody recognized him as the Messiah. His own people was looking at him like he's not the Messiah. The Jews of that day rejected him and basically fed him to the Romans.
Yeah, let me ask something real quick. So I make sure I understand where you're going with this.
Go ahead.
Is this you making a comparison to Christ and Nipsey Russell? Or is this you making a Christ and Nipsey Russell comparison?
That is exactly what I'm doing. I'm lining it up based on the story in the Bible. You see what I'm saying? Okay, they both died at 33. Now, at the time of Jesus, we got to keep in mind, there were no Christians when Jesus was walking around. Nobody said, I'm a Christian. You see what I'm saying? Jesus was a man who came to do his Father's work. You see, he came and preached, and a lot of the people rejected him. It wasn't until decades later that they started to recognize him as Jesus the Christ. Because remember, Christ is a title. That was not his last name. Christ means anointed one, right? That was a title. Now, we don't know. Again, Jesus died. He preached from 30 to 33, according to the scriptures. We don't know what Jesus was doing in his formidable years, right, which is 12 to, let's say, 30. There's no record of that. And please, anybody, I've done plenty of research on this. We cannot find what Jesus was doing. We can only speculate because there's no record of what Jesus was doing from 12 years old to 30. That's during his formidable years. Now, we know what Nipsey was doing. Nipsey was part of the underworld, which is what you have to do is go into the underworld to lift people up. The messianic force or Christ's energy always comes out of the oppressed people. You see what I'm saying? Jesus hung with the poor, the prostitutes, the criminals, the oppressed, because you have to go down there in order to lift people up and show them a better way. You see what I'm saying? You don't preach to the elite or to the ruling class. You see what I'm saying? You have to go into the gutter. You got to go into the gutter to pull people again up and show them the way, show them the light. And this messianic force is amongst us all the time. Like, these people come during our life cycles and we don't recognize them until they're gone, right? So now this one, I'm going to put this out there, because we got two things that Jesus was really known for that people point to. And I got this one from the rapper Daylight, but I'm going to put this out there because it's kind of funny, but the symbology is real, right? Jesus was known for what? Walking on the sea. Nipsey was a Crip who sea walked. You dig what I'm saying? He sea walked. He was a Crip. Now, that's super funny, and you can laugh, and that could be a reach. But if you look at the symbology, that's
what
it was.
It is.
Also, Jesus was known for turning water into wine. That is alchemy. We're talking about a person who grew up poor, who grew up in the underworld, who turned his poor situation into abundance. And he still understood at the same time that it wasn't about material things. Nip was about ownership. He was about black people doing for self. He was about bringing different gangs together. He was about bringing people together. As we see, you know, post his death, this man's spirit has resonated and spread out like a ripple to the entire world, and especially to the black community. Because now we're starting to take an internal look at ourselves and understand this man was about to do a documentary on health, about a doc, you know, Dr. Sabu, who promoted health. You see what I'm saying? He was about ownership. This man owned his master. Because remember, it's not all about the music in this particular case, because he only dropped one major album, which was this Victory Lap album, right? And a victory lap is when you get through running a marathon, that's your last lap to just, you just walk around. You tired, you done poured your heart out in this race and ran this marathon. A victory lap is you walking around like, I done won and I'm done. My mission is complete. You see what I'm saying? So my point is, I'm making that comparison. It may piss some people off. People may laugh or do what they want to do. But what I'm saying is, these type of messianic forces and energy is not just one person. It doesn't just, yeah, I'm not saying this to diminish anybody else, because you can have multiple messianic figures at the same time. You see what I'm saying? We have them throughout history. We have Buddha, we have Mithra, we have Krishna. All these people you can look up who had the messianic force. And what I'm saying is, these people walks amongst us every day, and we don't even know, because we're looking for the white dude with the long hair. You see what I'm saying? And we got to get, and we have to get out of this righteousness, pious thing, thinking that somebody's going to come back and be perfect and walk on water and do all these other things. No, these are human beings who go through their trials and tribulations, but at the end, they elevate and try to do something better for themselves and show people, because you, like, again, you have to go into the gutter to reach the people. You have to be amongst the people. You cannot preach to the elite. You see what I'm saying? You cannot preach to the elite and preach to the choir. You have to go down there with the people. And the only way that you're going to get the streets to trust you is you have to do what the streets do. You do that for a minute.
It is what it is.
This ain't the way. You know, we shouldn't be doing this to each other. I did it. You know, I did this and that. I gang bang, whoop-de-whoop. But now I know this is not the way. So I'm going to show you another way. And this is what the force does. And that's why I say even Farrakhan, I believe, recognized this young man's messianic energy, because he's on the cover of The Final Call. You see what I'm saying? And people made the case for Farrakhan being their messiah as well. I agree. This man does have that energy. But what we have to do, now that history has passed, we have to recognize the messianic force in Christ that's still amongst us. And what are we going to do with that? Are we going to reject it? Or are we going to, you know, fall in line and use this person as an example to be the best person that we can be? You see what I'm saying? But I'm going to leave it right there. And if we want to, you know, if y'all want to get to the lines, we can do that.
It
but
is
I'm
what it
forward.
Is.
I just wanted to put you out there if y'all want to respond. If y'all want to respond,
on.
Go ahead.
You said a lot. You said a lot there, brother.
Go ahead, my brother.
You said a mouthful.
Yes, indeed.
Now, let me first say, it's one thing you didn't probably get to this far, too, that he was crucified as well.
There you go. There you go.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
Now,
yeah, that goes
I'll say
what I'm
this.
Saying.
Look, I'm not going to knock what you're saying. I'm not. I get that. I actually follow what you're saying, because, you know, I look at it as it's a lot of, like you said, Christ-like. People can walk this earth and live a Christ-like life.
That's right.
So I'm with you on that. I'm not knocking and laughing. That is funny to me that you said walking on the sea. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I got that for daylight. I chuckled on that too, right? He was sea walking, but I just threw that out there.
I'm following you. You know, I'm following you on that. And you know, Nipsey was, you know, I guess we would have to say, I mean, he did walk in somewhat of those type of shoes. I don't know. I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna let the callers play with it, because I don't want to get in a long rant myself. Because you said a lot there. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. I said a lot.
I'm gonna sit back for a minute.
Yeah, I definitely said a lot, but like I say, I was trying to really draw the comparison and just let people know, like I say, these people and this type of energy walks amongst us because it's the way of the world. It's to pull the people up. It's to get the people to live a better life, to go against the system, to go against materialism, to look inside, to know thyself, to do for self. Like, these are the lessons that Jesus taught. You
maybe
see what I'm saying? Amongst
had,
the people.
Maybe that's why nobody had a gun there. Because he was meant to be crucified.
He was meant, and that was another point. Check this out. That was another point because look, who if anybody knows their biblical story, who set Jesus Christ up? Judas. Judas was Jesus' friend, right? So according to reports, this cat Eric Holder was a part of the same gang. He was a Rolling 60. He was. You know, whether he knew Nipsey or not, he was a part of the same gang. So the story goes hand in hand. There would be no Jesus without Judas. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing with Nipsey. These things go hand in hand. Unfortunately, that's why we got to look at the positive. And like I say, the spirit and the energy this man has put up on the planet, even though people may not recognize him. Like I say, many people did not recognize Jesus when he was walking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I said, this
Marcus.
They recognize Marcus Garvey, recognize Elijah.
Muhammad.
Like, we could go on and on. And people be like, oh, no, that's just so on and so forth. But these people walk amongst us every day. You see what I'm saying? And we have to start to recognize when we have them in our presence and at least in their honor try to follow suit and be the best person that we can be. You know what I'm saying? And not just reject them because we're looking for some perfect person to crack out the sky and start, you know, start walking on water and flying and doing all these other crazy stuff. No, it's not even that. You know, these are people, like you say, born of a man and a woman who come to do the work. They have flaws. They're in a human body. Their soul is in a human body. So, of course, the flesh is weak and you're going to succumb, you know, to some physical desires and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to look at the work and what's been resonated and how the inspiration has taken over a population of people,
that's
right?
It.
Because, like I said, I would have never recognized this while the man was here. I'm gonna be honest.
How many?
But as I said,
how many people got crucified with Jesus?
Exactly. It was a few.
Two.
It was two. Right. It was two. Yeah. It was two.
How many people got shot with Nipsey?
There you go. See? There you go. See what I'm saying? The parallels, like, I'm not, like, I'm just saying this. The parallels and the evidence lines up.
Yeah, I mean, we
so
laughing.
You can do whatever
laughing,
you want with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
We laughing, but, I mean,
we
it's
laughing.
Real. It's real in the
this
field.
Is real. The parallels lines up, and, like, with this information that I just laid out, you can do whatever you want with it. But I know I'm not going to say no.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say no. My heart and mind is open to the idea. You see what I'm saying? That this man has the messianic force. And like I say, it's a force. It's a force that's within the people. That's why he has to come amongst the oppressed class. It wasn't like he was born in the east side of New York, the upper east side, or, you know, Beverly Hills, or he didn't come out of these upper echelon communities. No, God sent him right to the hood, to one of the worst hoods in America.
Yeah,
sent him to one of the worst hoods in America.
The shameful part is, and I hope this don't be the case, but if we follow history, people didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't listen to none of the the Christ-like figures. They came and went. Nipsey, after a couple of months, they're going to forget about what Nipsey stood for and what his message was. It'll be on to the next episode. It's like how many times somebody got to come amongst us and try to give us the whispers, tell us something, and we don't take heed. We don't take heed until one day, you know, it's too late.
Right, right, yeah, and I mean, that's a good point. I hope that this is not the case. Like I say, I don't expect some massive change to happen. I know things happen in cycles and times, but I definitely believe that this was a spark to get us on the right path. You know what I'm saying? We still got a lot of issues to work out as a community and things we have to do. But this man passing and all the work that he left should, inspire a lot of people to get on the right path, to do the right thing, to understand that your brother is not your enemy. You know, we're fighting a whole bigger system than each other. You know what I'm saying? So if we can understand that and really exemplify and really, you know, honor his legacy, I think, you know, this is a definitely a step in the right direction. It's unfortunate that this brother had to pass, but I think he kind of knew, and I think his family knew. I read an article with his mother, and she was like, "I'm at peace." Like, that's his own mama saying she's at peace. She's like, "I've been having to want to console people, to tell them it's okay. You know, everything's going to be okay." This is his mama saying this. So if this woman can have the fortitude to understand that, okay, maybe this was just in the cards, and her son had to come here, do this work, and sacrifice his life. So, you know, if just the gangs in L.A. can understand that them banging against each other is not what's up. You see what I'm saying? They got a bigger fight that they need to be fighting. You see what I'm saying? If that was the only thing, then that's a win. We winning. You know what I'm saying? And that, like I say, that's his mama saying that. She say, "I'm at peace." You know what I'm saying? I get it. I'm at peace. You know, so, you know, we really gotta think about that. Like I say, the things line up, and you know, so you can take that information and do whatever you want with it, and you know, we'll just go from there.
So moving forward, we just gotta start applying
exactly
what Nipsey was all about, applying.
That's it.
You know, some of his teaching. That's it.
If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the assassination of Nipsey Hussle. We have been going in. It's Collective Minds Radio, y'all. Kind of where we left off last week, because it was breaking news on our last Sunday show. Give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. Now, Roger, I'm interested into hearing your response to what I just laid out, and then if you want to, we can go to some callers.
Okay. Well, it's interesting what you're saying. You know, of course, I didn't know all of that because, like I said earlier in the show, I didn't even know much about him, you know. But I see that a lot of people was definitely touched by him. So I totally believe in, I guess, the idea that we have people that walk amongst us that have a certain anointed energy, meaning that they have the power to connect easily and even a little persuasive, you know. So I know the power in that. So it's an interesting theory, you know, not one that I would, you know, shut down, because I recognize, you know, just from my life experience that there are people on, you know, that, you know, they just have an anointed energy, you know, where, and I think we all have a purpose anyway, you know, so.
Facts. That's a fact. That's,
you know, it's just, you know, he was just one of the ones who, you know, I guess maybe rose to a big enough potential where he had an impact on people, seemingly in a good way, which is ideal. You know, thank God he didn't affect all these people in a bad way. You know, so when
right,
that happens, real quick, we go to a call, I'll go quickly. But what happens when you have so many people that have been touched by something, and just using him as an example, all these people all around the world, that's unity. There's so
there
much power
go.
In unity. That's why
there
you can,
go.
That's why you can kind of feel it. That's why we always talk about how important it is for us to unify, you know, just the black community itself, because there's
right.
power in unity.
Power.
It's an energy.
Yep.
It's an energy,
mm-hmm.
whether you can feel it or not, is there.
Is there,
and
yeah.
if you're amongst it, you more than likely won't feel it. So, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
an important thing. But we can go to the callers. I won't take up too much more time. Let's go to area code 319-601. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Is this me? Hello?
Yes, you there.
Hello.
Peace. We can hear you.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Rest in peace to Nip Hustle. I think if Jesus knocked on our door, or I don't want to say Jesus, but Yeshua knocked on the door, I think he would display some type of energy that would let you know that he is who he is. So more than likely, you would probably let him in, because you would be able to feel something. You'd be able to feel his presence. So I'd probably let him in, because he probably displays some type of energy. With the Nipsey Hussle, we know how things go on in the hood. If you call dude a snitch, dude left, come back, bang, bang, he's a hater. If he was introducing himself as a rapper and he really didn't know Nip, that's fishy to me. That's funny. I've
right.
never heard of a getaway driver. I've never heard of a getaway driver getting released, point blank.
Getting released
in my town
Thank
right.
You.
In my
Thank
town
you.
Right now, it's a getaway driver to a murder that's going to jail. That's in jail right now as I speak.
Thank you. Thank you.
So ain't no getaway driver getting away with nothing. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
they making him turn state on the other guys that did the murder.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we gonna recognize that. Second of all, I'm thanking the God that this ain't the Dr. CB, what they said it was. I'm still looking at it. I'm still, you know,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Sabi's death was mysterious. I jumped on it right when it happened. It was funny.
Yeah.
It caused me to go back. Yeah, it caused me to go back. This whole thing caused me to go back to Dr. CB. And then, you know, I'm back to looking at his death now. You see what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I'm really happy that it, you know, that it wasn't, you know, Dr. CB government. We still don't know. We still don't know.
Right, right.
And I'm going to leave it right. on, you know. But, you know, when these guys, these rappers now are coming straight out the gutter. And they bring in that lifestyle, unfortunately, is carrying over into their new lifestyle now. You see
right,
what I mean?
That's true.
Now,
mm-hmm.
he was on the block with the Crips, no doubt. But now he's high profile. You see
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So that he ain't shook that life yet. You know, we talked about him slapping and all that. So it's still
right.
in him. Like you said, he's still
right.
hands on. He's
right.
still hands
right.
on.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't make a decision on whether it's the government, because for Chris Darden to even take his damn case, I'm like, whoa.
Well,
that
exactly.
sparked my ears back up. That put my ears
exactly.
back up on my neck. Because
right.
I'm like,
right.
cause I let it go when I heard it was just a hater. I let it go. I'm like, oh, you bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my fault. My fault. Sorry. Excuse my
yep.
language. I was really mad when I heard about it. And then when
mm-hmm.
Chris Darden, you know, he got, I said, hold on now.
Yep.
Now, for Chris Darden to do that, you violating a lot of code. He violated a lot of codes. So I'm wondering what his motive is. Are you, are you hungry for money? What's up with you? What's going on with you? You know,
not to cut you off, but that's what kind of piqued my ears back up too, because I can roll with you if you say, okay, he was just a hater. These things happened in the hood. He was mad, this and that. Okay, that's cool. But when you talk about the getaway driver, but wait, first, when you talk about him eluding police in Los Angeles for 2 days, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
Then when you talk about the getaway driver getting away, that's suspicious. Then you throw Chris Darden representing him on top of that.
Oh, my God.
It's like, come on. Now you're killing me. Now
who
you
was,
insult my intelligence.
Who was a prosecutor?
Who was a prosecutor? Now he's playing defense. Exactly. Now he's playing defense.
Exactly.
So the prosecutor knows everything that since he's a former prosecutor, he knows all the tricks that the prosecution is going to use against his defendant. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So he has some type of inside knowledge of how the prosecutor is going to go about this case. And on top of that, this dude pleaded not guilty.
With a camera, video footage,
and he pleaded not guilty. No. Come on, man. Are you serious?
That's what I'm saying.
I got to throw this out there now. Where is Chris Darden from? Do anybody know where he's from?
No, I don't know that.
No, I didn't do that research. That's a good question, because I didn't do that research at all.
Or where he's from, because remember now, you know, these gang ties now. We don't know if Chris Darden got some gang ties. Because, like I said, he looked very uncomfortable to me at the Ravens. He didn't look comfortable, in my opinion. So somebody could have told him, you taking this case. I mean, because if not, where the money coming from to pay him?
Where's the money coming from?
Oh, my God.
I'm not buying the pro bono. I am not buying he's doing this pro bono.
No.
It don't look good.
It don't go like that. Public defender is what a gangbanger gets. Public defender is what a gangbanger gets. Low-level gangbanger. You're getting public defender.
Yes.
They're not even – and really, a lawyer, if he know you did it, he's not going to defend you like that. He's not going to tell you to plead not guilty. He's going
to
tell you, look here, this is on the table. You know what I'm saying? They got video of you. You better take what you can get. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to say, hey, plead not guilty. You know what I'm saying? So my hands is up. I don't know, y'all. I don't know.
And
y'all tell me.
I'm with you, too. I don't either. I'm just putting the questions out there. I don't know either.
I don't know.
But I'm erring on the side of suspicions. I'm very suspicious.
I'm very suspicious. Because like you said, you can be a snitch, but you still you work for the government.
You cooperate.
You're working for the government. You know what I'm saying?
So that just goes to, you know, we got to ask these questions. If he was an informant, when did he get released? You know, what type of deal was made?
Yeah.
And all those type of things need to be answered. Like, those are questions that need to be on the table, because if he got out early – He got out early just to come home and commit this murder? Like, you know, what's really going on? So there's a lot of questions on the table that need to be answered. And like I say, this whole case is very suspicious, and it gets weirder by the day.
Right on, Carla. We appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Carla. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We got one more caller. We're going to get to him. But like the caller just touched on real quick, he was talking about as far as the Dr. Sabi thing. Now, I think that, if anything, that's a small part of the quote-unquote conspiracy. You know what I'm saying? Because the documentary hasn't even been made. It wasn't finished. What I'm thinking is this man was doing a lot for the city of Los Angeles, in particular his community. He had the store. He had big plans. Actually, he owned, from what I understand, he owned that whole little strip mall. right? And like you say, the strip mall catered to the people in the community, so it was like a Boost Mobile, a T-Mobile, some other things, his Marathon clothing store. You know, it catered to the community. So what I heard, like I said, he owned that whole strip mall. He owned real estate in that neighborhood. They're building a Rams football stadium blocks from where that is. And Nipsey was one of the ones promoting people to buy their property, hold on to it, you know, don't really give it up for, you know, don't give it up, just hold on to it, hold on to it. So he was promoting people standing their ground as far as their community with the stadium coming. That's one issue. Another thing, he had a STEM program going with kids. He was teaching kids coding. You know what I'm saying? He was getting kids into tech with like a Vector 90 type of program he had. So there were a lot of things that were going on the ground that a lot of people may be not privy to, where he's actually affecting change in these neighborhoods from people joining gangs and committing crimes and going against their own people. He was actually affecting change on the ground. You dig what I'm saying? Which is a problem to the establishment, because if you can get people to stop banging against each other and start being productive, that's a problem for the system. And like I posted earlier, and what people don't talk about, even when I put this information out there to people, people kind of brush it off. Crime is down in every major city. Crime is down in the black community. I'm going to say this again. Crime is down in every major city, according to the numbers, and crime is down in the black community. So what that tells me is the matrix needs to adjust, right? Because when crime is down, they lose money. And even though we may not be able to see the effects because it's, you know, just now happening, but they're losing money because people are not going to prison, people are not committing crimes. These lawyers are not making money, these judges, the system, the prisons, all this and that. So they're seeing the effects, and they can do the numbers and predict if crime continues to go down, you know, it's going to really disrupt the system. And that's things that folks need to look into, you know what I'm saying, because we are going in the right direction as a community. So, you know, when people talk about, well, we did this to us, and no, we didn't do nothing to us. This was
I got to tell you, make it plain. We got to get this call real quick.
Let's go.
You know what? Yeah, we got one more caller, but I want to do a show with you about that, about what you just said. I want to do a show with you about that.
Yes, indeed. We can do that, bro. Let's go. Y'all want to get the caller?
Okay, this will definitely have to be our last call. Area code 315-767. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Collective Minds.
What's up, bro?
Hey.
Hey there. I'm like the first caller where I didn't really know who Nipsey Hussle was until this situation popped off. And, you know, I've been listening to the whole show. I'm over here working with some potted plants right now and listening to the show, so I'm kind of in a meditative state. And I really like what Cosmic Kev did with that comparison. That was really interesting. That was really insightful, really interesting. That is deep thinking right there. That's a mind-boggling deep thinking.
I appreciate it, bro.
Now, even if you're a person that doesn't subscribe to that, you still should be amazed that a brother could even think like that, just to put things together and not be afraid to put it out there. I love that. That's what I love about your show.
Yes, indeed.
No,
I
don't know too much on Nipsey and all that. I'm just listening and enjoying.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate it.
Dialing me in there.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate it. Yeah, that'll be the last call, I guess. But yeah, I appreciate that. And like I said, that information really was just to put out there. You know, folks could take it or leave it. And do whatever they want with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just to shed light on the great people that can be walking amongst us. Even we ain't even got to go there. We could just talk about our family members. You see what I'm saying? We need to acknowledge our family members while they're here, spend time with them, laugh, enjoy life, things like that, like the simple stuff. You know what I'm saying? And tell them how you feel about them while they're here. And let's not wait. You know what I'm saying? Let's not wait until they pass to start talking at the funeral. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I'm talking to myself as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to me, myself, that I need to do a better job of appreciating my family while they're here, enjoying time with them. I'm grateful that I have a sister that is like the matriarch of the family that kind of holds everybody together and brings people together. So I'm grateful for that. But just as people in general, we need to be more proactive in telling the people, you know, giving, here's a prime, just to wrap it up, giving them their flowers while they're here. You know what I'm saying? And appreciating them while they're here. So, you know, if we could take anything from what's been transpired the last week, I say that would be one thing. And, you know, I'll leave it at that, y'all. I'll let y'all wrap it up. Y'all want to get a last word in? Mufasa, and then we'll let Roger wrap it up. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to say was, people, Google up Seven Money and Ownership Lessons by Nipsey Hussle. Seven Money and Ownership Lessons by Nipsey Hussle. Y'all don't have time to read them to you, but you guys Google those up, read them, apply them to your life. The best way for us to keep this man's legacy going on is to try to do the positive things and implement the positive things that he stood for in our lives and in our community lives. So let's do that. And also, you know, giving my boy Ness Russell RIP and a crip.
Yep, a crip. Yes, sir. Much respect. Roger, we let you wrap it up.
Thanks.
This is another great show. Congratulations, my host, my co-host, and my host. Everybody did well. Good job. And thanks to all our supporters and all our listeners that tuned in and all our callers. Tune in with us next week, Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us if any show topic ideas, or if you just want to chat, send us an email. And that's it. We're out. Peace. See you next week.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn up. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's only or a new point, calling with your viewpoint, prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers, of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We've been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like.